जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी,
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी,
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गुरु गिरिवर धारी,
गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी,
जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, श्री श्री राधा माधव की जय, श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा मई की जय, श्री श्री निताय गौर सुंदर की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Today I will be speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam, since it is your Srimad Bhagavatam class, Canto 5, Chapter 25, Text 10. So those of you who have access to the Srimad Bhagavatam, kindly open Canto 5, Chapter 25, Text 10. If you like, somebody can also post it on the screen. That may make it convenient for everyone. Okay. The chapter is titled The Glories of Lord Ananta. मूर्तिं नः पुरुकृपया बभार सत्वं संशुद्धं सदसत् इदं विभाति तत्र यल्लीलां मृगपतिराददेन्नवद्याम् आदातुं स्वजनमनां स्युदारवीर्यः. श्रील प्रभुपाद्स् ट्रान्स्लेशन् एण्ड् पर्पोर्ट्. ट्रान्स्लेशन्: This manifestation of subtle and gross matter exists within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Out of causeless mercy toward His devotees, He exhibits various forms which are all transcendental. The Supreme Lord is most liberal, and He possesses all mystic power. To conquer the minds of His devotees and give pleasure to their hearts, He appears in different incarnations and manifests many pastimes. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has translated this verse as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. It is by His will that gross and subtle ingredients interact. He appears in various incarnations just to please the hearts of His pure devotees. Unquote. For example, the Supreme Lord appeared in the transcendental incarnation of Lord Varaha, the boar, just to please His devotees by lifting the planet Earth from the Garbhodaka ocean. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I am very happy to be with all of you at the Radha Madhava Temple at Baltimore, Maryland, USA. It has been many, many years, not many, many, but at least some years since I have had the association of all of you. So therefore, I'm really happy that I'm able to connect with you again after this period. I do hope that all of you have been keeping well in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic, and that you have utilized this opportunity to pursue your devotional activities with even more enthusiasm than before. Despite the problems of the COVID pandemic, this has presented many opportunities for hearing, chanting, and associating via the internet. So for the devotees, we try to utilize even adverse circumstances somehow or the other in a positive way to move ahead in our Krishna consciousness. Since I visited, now you have already, I think, started your new temple, am I right? Your new temple has started with the new wonderful deities there, which I have taken darshan of just now, virtually. And you have a very growing, nice growing community of devotees. So I'm very happy to see that so much progress has been made in the devotee community at Baltimore. So when Pradyumna Prabhu, who has been consistently inviting me for a long time, sent me this invitation, I could not refuse. So I am happy that I am there with you again today. The topic that I have chosen to speak on is, why does the Supreme Lord have so many forms? I'm sure this is a question that must have occurred to you. And maybe some people have also asked you this when you have tried to explain Krishna consciousness to them. Now, as far as the various other religions of the world are concerned, they are mostly monotheistic, meaning that they believe in one God. And therefore, for them, the worshippers of that faith or that religion, it is fairly easy because they just worship that one God. And for those who do not belong to those faiths, and specifically those who identify with some or the other aspect of the Hindu faith, it becomes rather confusing. Because there are so many divinities, so many gods that everybody worships. And therefore there is the idea that we are actually polytheists. Poly means many. Theist means worshipper. So polytheism means the worship of many gods. So people think that we are also worshippers of many gods. But actually we are not worshippers of many gods. We are also worshippers of only one God. But somehow, because there is this idea about Hinduism, so many gods, so people think we also just worship so many gods. We are not polytheists. We are not worshippers of many gods. We are worshippers of one God, but we say that that one God expands himself into many forms which are identical with himself. And there are also demigods, and there are other personalities who also have many forms. So because there is no clarity of understanding, therefore people confuse. So the first and most important thing to do in answering this question, that why does the Lord have many forms, is to say that there are two categories. One is the category of the Supreme Lord. And the second is the category of those who are not the Supreme Lord. So in the category of the Supreme Lord, there is Krishna and all his expansions. Lord Ramachandra, Lord Matsya, Lord Kurma, Lord Narayan, and so many other forms of the Lord. They are all God with a capital G. They are all the personality of Godhead. The second category are the forms of those who are not God. So there can be so many categories, subcategories in this. You have the demigods, you have various residents of the higher planets, and there are people who worship human beings as well. If you come to India, you will see in many places people worship, you know, famous politicians or film stars, and they actually set up temples for them. You know, they do arati for them. So, you know, there is so much misunderstanding. So the first thing we have to do is that even though the Vaishnava respects everybody, offers his or her obeisances to everybody, including an ant, but still we must be very clear about who is supreme and who is not supreme. If somebody is not supreme, then we should not claim that that person is supreme. That will be wrong. So, we eliminate the second category. So that whole section of personalities which causes the confusion is eliminated. And then we are left with the first category. But even there is confusion. Somebody may say, okay, we accept that there is a difference between the Supreme Lord and those who are not the Supreme Lord. But in the first category also, you have so many different forms. Why this confusion? Why not just only Krishna? Why Ram and Matsya, Kurma, Narayan, Vaishnava? This also causes confusion. So actually, there is no confusion because in the first category, all the forms of the Lord are one and the same. They are one person who has expanded into many forms. So Srila Prabhupada, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, in one chapter, he gives a purport. He said, one should neither differentiate between the forms of the Lord, nor should one equate the forms of the Lord with the forms of the demigods or humans. That means, one should not say, oh, this is Lord Krishna, this is Lord Ram, so I will not respect Lord Ram, I will only respect Lord Krishna. No. All the forms of the Lord are identical, they are the same, so one should not differentiate between them, Prabhupada says. At the same time, one should not equate the forms of the Lord with those forms who are not the Lord. So both these things are important for us. So therefore, the first point in our question, in answering the question, why does the Lord have many forms, is to state that there are two categories, one category of the Supreme Lord, the other category of those who are not the Supreme Lord. So we are speaking only about the first category as the Supreme Lord. So as far as the first category is concerned, where there are many forms of the Supreme Lord, still why? That is also a potential confusion. So the answer as given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that Krishna, Govinda, Shyama Sundar of Vrindavan is the origin of all other forms of Godhead. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, in chapter 3, Krishna, the source of all incarnations, it is mentioned that there is a list of about 22 incarnations of the Supreme Lord. And then there is a mention of numerous other categories like the Manus and so on. And then there is an important verse that is stated there, which I'm sure most of you have heard and perhaps some of you have memorized. Ete chansakala punsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam mridayanti yuge yuge. The meaning is ete. Ete means all these. All these meaning what? All these incarnations that have been previously mentioned, all those 22 incarnations plus the other minor incarnations, they're all God, yes. But Krishna is the source of all of them. And all these other forms of the Lord are either expansions of Krishna, or they are the expansions of the expansions of Krishna, or the expansions of the expansions of the expansions and so on of Krishna. So the expansion of Krishna is called Ansha. And the expansion, the Ansha of the Ansha is called Kala. So all the different categories, all the different forms of the Lord in the first category are Bhagavan, but they are either Ansha, that is expansion, or they are the Kala, the expansions of the expansions. But Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. So in the first category, everybody is Bhagavan, but Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. Swayam Bhagavan means that he is the source of all other forms of Godhead. In Brahma Samhita, Brahma has declared and given us some very clear Siddhanta on this point. He says, Advaita Machyuta Manadi Mananta Rupam Adhyam Purana Purusha Nava Yauvanam Cha Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship that original personality of Godhead, Govinda, who is infallible, who is absolute, who is without a beginning, who is Ananta Rupam, he has many forms. And yet, he still remains the same original Adhyam, Purana Purusham, the oldest person, and Navayauvanam, he is always the eternal fresh youth. So despite the fact that this Govinda or Krishna expands himself into many forms, still he remains Adyam Purana Purusham Nava Yauvanam. He remains the original person. It is not that because he has expanded himself into so many parts, he disappears or he reduces. No, he remains the original same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, Ramadi Motishu Kalaniya Mena Tishthanna Navataramakarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Purusha Paramah Pumanyo Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Srila Prabhupada gives the translation here in Bhagavad Gita chapter 4 text 5 purport. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda, Krishna, who is always situated in various incarnations such as Ram, Narasimha and many such sub-incarnations as well, but who is the original personality of Godhead known as Krishna and who incarnates personally also. So, Lord Brahma is saying here in this verse that Lord Krishna is always eternally situated in his various incarnations like Ram, Narasimha, etc. But he remains the original personality of Godhead and he also personally incarnates from time to time. And then Prabhupada explains in this purport that there is, in the Vedas it is said that there is a very rare precious stone which is called Vaidurya. Now the special quality of this Vaidurya is that it reflects or appears to be of whichever color that is near it. If you place it near a blue cloth, this will appear blue. If you place it near yellow cloth, it will appear yellow. Sometimes it may display several colors at the same time, like yellow, blue. It may appear different of different colors. The different facets of that stone may appear differently colored. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada explains, although the Lord is one without a second, he manifests himself in innumerable forms, just like the Vaidurya stone, which changes color, yet still remains one. All those multiforms are understood by the pure unalloyed devotees. But this is not understood by those who simply study the Vedas without rendering devotional service. So in this way we see that the Lord has actually many, many forms, but the original form is Krishna. Similarly, in the 10th canto, in the 40th chapter, text 7, the great devotee Akrura says, Yajanti Tvan Mayah Tvam Vai Bahu Murti Eka Murtikam. He says, while praying to Krishna, that there are great devotees who worship Yajanti Tvam. They worship you, O Krishna. How do they worship you? Tvan Mayah. With their thoughts, with their minds full with thoughts of you. Tvam mayaha tvam vai. So they worship you with their mind which is full of thoughts of you. Of you as the one Supreme Personality of Godhead, Eka Murtikam, but who has manifested in many forms, Bahu Murti. Bahu Murti Eka Murtikam. So the great devotees of the Lord, their minds are always filled with loving thoughts of you. They worship you as that one Supreme Lord who manifests himself in many different forms. So therefore we understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one originally. He manifests himself as in many forms, each of which is identical with him. So it is not correct to say that there are many gods. There is one God who manifests himself in many forms, each of which is equally the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Equal in potency. We all know that example of Lord Brahma about the lighting of the candles, of how Krishna is the original candle that lights many other candles. So, now the question arises. Okay, we understand that in the first category, the Lord expands himself into many categories. They are also considered the Supreme Lord. So God is only one. Fine, we accept that. But why? What is the reason for this? So the reason for this is given in the very beginning of the verse that we just recited. We started off by reciting 5.25 from point 10. So, it is said here, Murtim Naha Purukripaya Babhara. Murtim refers to the many forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Naha means to us, the devotees are speaking. Babhara. Murtim Naha Babhara. So the Supreme Lord, oh, you manifest, you exhibit many forms. Why? Purukripaya, out of great mercy upon us. So why does the Lord exhibit many forms? Number one, out of great mercy for his devotees. And why is it a great mercy for the devotees? In what way is he actually giving mercy? The last line of the verse says, Adatum Svajana Manamsi. To conquer the mind, Svajana Mana Anshi, Manamsi. Svajana means the dear devotees of the Lord. So the Lord manifests himself in many forms to conquer the hearts of his devotees. And Jiva Goswami says in the purport, as I read here, that just to please the hearts of his pure devotees. So this is a very important point. So the Lord manifests himself in many forms primarily to please his pure devotees. This is the main reason for the Lord appearing in many forms. Okay, so we may say, fine, that is also accepted. We accept that the Lord manifests himself into many forms identical with himself to please the pure devotees. But why should the Lord appearing in many forms please the pure devotees? Why can't they just be satisfied with only Krishna? Why do the devotees need so many forms? It is so easy if Krishna is just one and all the devotees just love Krishna in Vrindavan and everything is easy. But then there is Ramachandra in Ayodhya, there is Krishna in Dwaraka, there is Narasimha. You know, so why? Why the devotees need to have all these different forms to be pleased? The answer is that each entity, each jiva, is a unique entity. Each jiva has minute independence and each jiva has the freedom to love Krishna according to his or her choice, according to his or her mentality. Every jiva has a different individuality, a different personality, different mentality, different propensities, different likes and dislikes, different natures. And we see that in a reflected form, in a perverted form, even in the material world. To give a very simple example, somebody likes mango, somebody likes apple more. Now, why does somebody like apple? It's there, that's his nature. He likes apple more than he likes mango. So even in this material world, we see that different people are of different natures and likes and dislikes, different mentalities. So, to understand this point better, we need to see, understand the term rasa. Now, all of you are familiar with this term ras, yes? Because we have dasya ras, we have sakya ras, we have atsalya ras, right? Madhuri ras, so we have all these rasa. Srila Prabhupada explains in Nectar of Devotion that ras refers to some kind of pleasure that we derive from some activity, or it is the force that impels us to do a particular activity. So this is the perverted or material sphere of things. But in the spiritual realm, there is transcendental rasa, there is spiritual rasa, and by loving the Lord in different ways, in different forms, you can relish different rasas. So I'll just read one small portion of Srila Prabhupada's statements in Nectar of Devotion at the end of chapter 4. He says, "A devotee who is attached to a particular form of the Lord does not wish to redirect his devotion to other forms. For example, Hanuman, the devotee of Lord Ramachandra, knew that there is no difference between Lord Ramachandra and Lord Narayan, and yet he still wanted to render service only unto Lord Ramachandra. That is due to the specific attraction of a particular devotee. There are many, many forms of the Lord, but Krishna is still the original form." So you see, the example of Hanuman is very interesting for all of us. So Hanuman, as Prabhupada mentions here, he knows very well that Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, Lord Narayan, Lord Narasimha are all the same personality. But if you ask Hanuman, "You please worship Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, you worship Lord Ramachandra in Ayodhya, you worship Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, or Lord Narasimhadev," Hanuman will say, "My due respects to these personalities, but my heart is for Lord Ramachandra." So that is his mentality, that is his rasa, that is his bhava, his mood, his permanent state of devotion to Lord Ramachandra. He worships the Supreme Lord in a particular mood, in a particular form. Any other form of the Lord will not attract him. Why? That is his nature. Because he is a unique individual. So for him, he prefers the Lord in that particular form. So he will not worship any other form as his beloved. So we see that Hanuman also appeared as Murari Gupta in Chaitanya Leela. And even though Lord Chaitanya tried to preach to him, give him philosophy that, look, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and, you know, Ramachandra is his expansion, Krishna is the most... the best relisher of all the transcendental rasas. You know, the rasa that is mellow experienced in Vrindavan is incomparable. So he gave all the philosophy to him. But Hanuman's heart was set on Murari Gupta's heart was set on Lord Ramachandra. He could not change. Finally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very pleased with his devotion to Lord Ramachandra. And he said, "You're a genuine devotee." Similarly, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami had a younger brother called Anupam or Vallabh. And he was also a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. So both the devotees would preach to Anupam, "Come on, you must now worship Lord Krishna." And they explained so much about the mellow of Vrindavan and so on and so forth. And because he respected and loved his older brother so much, finally he said, "All right, I will worship Lord Krishna of Vrindavan." And then next day again he came. He said, "I want to commit suicide." He said, "What? What happened?" He said, "Because when I started worshipping Krishna, then I started thinking, oh, I have sold my head at the feet of Lord Ramachandra. And now I have to give him up and worship Lord Krishna, you know. And I'm feeling so guilty that I have given up my Lord. So therefore I see no other way for me except to commit suicide. On one hand are your instructions which I cannot disobey. And the other hand my heart which cannot give up the worship of Lord Ramachandra. So I'm in a very difficult predicament. So I better give up my life." Of course, Anupam or Vallabh very well knew the Siddhanta, the philosophy, that there is no difference between Lord Ramachandra and Krishna Vrindavan. They are the same person. But nevertheless, no philosophy would work because he was on that stage of pure devotion. His mind, his mentality was set for Lord Ramachandra. So we see, therefore, that different entities, different spirit souls have their different bhava, their different mood, their different mentalities in which they want to approach the Supreme Lord. Actually, that is also the reason why so many different paths are available and given in the Bhagavad Gita. There is Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. Because not everybody will be eligible for Bhakti Yoga. There is something called Adhikar or eligibility. So different people have their own spiritual history coming from millions of lives in the past. So some people, you may preach them all the philosophy you like, but he will not move from Ashtanga Yoga. He will not stop his doing his yoga bhyas and his practices like that. Similarly, you ask the person who is very fixed in the impersonal, it's very hard to change them. Similarly, those who are in the path of pious activities and all that, they are so fixed in that path, very hard to change them to pure devotional service. So similarly, on the transcendental platform also, on the platform of pure devotion to the Supreme Lord, there is infinite variety. So some pure devotees in the spiritual world worship the Lord as Ramachandra and they will not hear anything. They will not say, come on, let me take you to Goloka. They'll say, no, I want to be here. Those who worship Lord Narayan will only worship Lord Narayan. They will not want to go anywhere else. Similarly, those who worship Krishna at Vrindavan will also not want to go anywhere else. And even amongst those who worship Krishna at Vrindavan, there are those who worship him in the different rasas. So, those in the Shanta rasa will not want to do any other type of... They don't want to become gopis. The cows will not want to become gopis. The cowherd boys will not want to become mother and father of Krishna. So the gopis will not want to become, mother and father of Krishna. So the mood, the rasa that each of them have is so unique. So even though they're worshipping that same Krishna of Vrindavan, not even the other forms of Krishna in Vaikuntha and other places, but still their mood, their bhava is only in that particular way. They will see Krishna as their child, as their lover, as their friend, as their master. No matter what you say, what you do, whatever philosophy you may give them, their heart will not change. Because they have already reached that platform of pure devotion, sthayi bhava. They're eternally there. So that can never change. So because all the devotees of Krishna, of the Supreme Lord, let us say, have different mentalities and different moods, and they relish different types of rasas on that spiritual platform, therefore the Lord very kindly manifests himself in all these different forms. Now I would like to briefly speak about a pastime that is narrated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I will not be able to narrate the whole pastime, but just the brief outline I will give. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Srirangam, which is a famous place in South India, where Lord Ranganath resides, there is a massive temple there, huge temple there of Lord Ranganath, Lord Narayan. So he stayed during the Chaturmasya, 4 months of Chaturmasya, in the house of one great devotee called Venkat Bhatta. Now Venkat Bhatta was the father of Gopal Bhatta, who later on became Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So he was a Sri Vaishnava, so he was a worshipper of Lord Narayan and Lakshmi Devi. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with his pure devotion. He was a pure Vaishnava and Lord Chaitanya appreciated him very much. And they would have many discussions together on Krishna consciousness. They would go for darshan together. They would chant together. So as the time went by, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one day, in a mood of familiarity, he asked a question to Venkata Bhatta. He said, Lakshmi Devi is your worshipable goddess, and she is definitely very, very exalted. She is situated on the chest of Lord Narayan, and she is always engaged in worshipping him. And yet, we see that, so your Lord is Lord Narayan, and my Lord is Krishna, who is a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. And yet we see that despite your goddess being so exalted, she wants to come to Vrindavan and participate in the pastimes there, even though she is so chaste. A chaste woman is one who will not leave her husband to go with somebody. So therefore, how is it that Lakshmi Devi does this? So Venkata Bhatta was a little surprised. He said, well, there is no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Narayan. The only difference is that in the form of Lord Krishna, the Lord performs pastimes which are very sportive or very playful in nature. Whereas in Lord Narayan's case, he's a little more grave. That is the only difference. So therefore, because he's the same person, so there is no violation of the chastity on the part of Mother Lakshmi if she goes to be with Lord Krishna, because he's the same person. So why are you making fun in this way? So he was curious. I will skip all the verses and all that he said. So Lord Chaitanya said, yes, you are right, Venkata Bhatta, that there is no fault on the part of Lakshmi Devi's chastity, certainly. She is our most exalted, worshipable goddess. But still the point is that she performed austerities for a long time and still was unsuccessful to enter into the Rasa Leela of Krishna in Vrindavan. So what is the reason for that? Even though she tried and tried, she could not enter. So Venkata Bhatta said, my intelligence cannot stretch to that extent. So you kindly enlighten me. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the unique position of Vrindavan, where the devotees love him in such an intimate and sweet mood that unless one follows in the footsteps of the Brajabasis, one cannot attain to that state of love, that intimacy and that sweetness. One cannot become a devotee of Vrindavan unless one follows in the footsteps of these great associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. And because Lakshmi Devi wanted to keep her position as the queen of Vaikuntha, and she did not follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan, therefore she could not enter into the Rasa Leela. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually explained to Venkata Bhatta that it was actually Lord Krishna who is the origin of Lord Narayan. Even though Krishna and Narayan are the same, but those who worship the Lord in the mood of Vaikuntha think that Narayan is the origin of Krishna. Whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that actually Krishna in Vrindavan is the origin of all of the forms of Godhead. All the Narayan forms, all the Vishnu forms are all coming from Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to explain this to Venkata Bhatta, and Venkata Bhatta was convinced. And after saying that, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pacified him and he said, don't worry, my dear Venkata Bhatta, actually there is no difference between Lord Krishna, Lord Narayan, etc. But at the same time, we must see a distinction in rasa. And Venkata Bhatta himself had quoted a certain verse, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now quoted. Siddhanta tastva bhedepi Shri Shakrishna swarupayoho rasenotkrishyate Krishna rupam esha rasasthitihi. The meaning of this verse is Siddhantataha, that means in reality, as far as the Siddhanta is concerned, Abheda, there is no difference between Shri Isha, Shri Isha. Shri means Lakshmi, Isha means the Lord. So the Lord of Lakshmi is Narayan. So another name for Lord Narayan is Shri Isha. So there is no, even though there is no difference between Krishna and Shri Isha or Lord Narayan, Siddhantatastva Bhede Api. Api means although. So although there is no difference in Siddhanta, in Tattva, between Krishna and Lord Narayan, still Rasena, in terms of Rasa, in terms of transcendental mellow, Utkrishyate Krishna Rupam. So Lord Krishna is superior to Lord Narayan in terms of the Rasa, in terms of the mellow. Esha Rasasthitihi. So Krishna is always situated in that transcendental rasa. And it is because of this sweet mellow that Krishna is considered superior. Although he is one and the same, and we should not differentiate, but in rasa we can see a distinction. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained further. And he quoted another verse. Manir yatha vibhagena neena pitad bhir yutaha rupa bhedam avapnoti dhyana bhedat tathachyutaha. Mani yatha vibhagena. The mani here, mani means a gem. So the gem here refers to the Vaidurya mani, which I referred to earlier on in the talk. So in the same way, yatha, just as this Vaidurya mani is sometimes seen as neela. Neela means blue, or pita, or sometimes a yellow. Adi means etc. So just as the Vaidurya jewel is sometimes seen as yellow, sometimes as blue, and sometimes of other colors, similarly, that tatha, achyutaha, in the same way, achyuta or Krishna, rupa bhedam avapnoti. So he manifests himself in different rupas, in different forms. On what basis? Dhyana bhedat. According to the different mentalities and meditations of his devotees. Because his devotees meditate on him in different ways, in different forms. So very kindly, to please his devotees, Krishna takes on those forms. So Krishna appears in many forms, according to the forms in which his devotees like to meditate upon him. Very important part of our Siddhanta. So why does the Lord manifest himself in so many forms? Because the devotees are variegated and they like to meditate on Krishna in different ways, in different forms. And therefore the Lord manifests himself accordingly in those different forms. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says here, Krishna Narayana Jayche Ekai Swarupa Gopi Lakshmi Bheda Nahi Hoy Eka Rupa. There is no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Narayan, for they are of the same form. Similarly, there is no difference between the gopis and the goddess of fortune, for they are also of the same form. Gopi dware lakshmi kore krishna sangha swad ishwaratve bheda manile hoy aparad. The goddess of fortune enjoys the association of Krishna through the gopis. One should not differentiate between the forms of the Lord, for such a conception is offensive. Eka Ishvara Bhaktira Dhyana Anurupa Eka Ivigrahe Kore Nanakara Rupa. Eka Ishvara, the Lord is one. Bhaktira Dhyana Anurupa, according to the Dhyana or the meditation of the Bhakta, Eka Ivigrahe Kore Nanakara Rupa. So that one Vigraha, that one form, manifests in many forms based on the Dhyana or the meditation of that devotee. And then he quotes the same verse that I just quoted, Manir Yatha Vibhagena, about the Vaidurya stone. So, in the purport, Prabhupada says, However, it is offensive to think that Balaram is superior to Lord Ramachandra or vice versa. Neophyte devotees do not understand the Shastri conclusion and consequently they unnecessarily create an offensive situation. So therefore, whilst we understand that there is oneness and difference, we must see this in the proper context. So essentially then the conclusion is that the reason for the Lord's manifesting himself in many forms is to reciprocate with the varying moods and the types of meditations that his devotees have. Ye yatham mam prapadyante tam sthathaiva bhajamyaham. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that as the devotees wish to approach me or relate to me, I relate to them accordingly. So because Hanuman wants to see the Lord in a particular way, then the Lord appears as Ramachandra. So each of the devotees have their worshipable, their meditation, fulfilled because the Lord appears in their form, in the form that is most dear to their hearts. And that is called Ishtadeva. Ishtadeva means one who is very dear to the heart. That form of the Lord who is very, very dear to a particular devotee. So this is an important conclusion. And I'll conclude the lecture with another reason why the Lord appears in different forms. And I'll just say this very briefly. Again, we come to Akrura and his prayers. Akrura says in the 40th chapter of the 10th canto, in the 16th verse, he says, Yani yani ha rupani kridanartham vibharshihi. Yani yani means whichever, various forms. Rupani means the different forms. Yani yani hi rupani vibharshi, which means the Lord manifests different forms, kridana artham. For the sake of enjoying pastimes. So the second reason why the Lord manifests himself in many forms is because he wants to enjoy in so many different forms. He wants to give happiness to his devotees and he also wants to enjoy. You know, one can give a very crude analogy that any given individual here in the human society also likes to enjoy by wearing different clothes. If you were told you should wear the same clothes every day for your whole life, would you like it? Even if the clothes never got dirty, but you'll still feel like wearing different clothes, different every day, sometime one cloth, another time some other type of, you know, dress. Because that is nature. We like variety. Variety is a spice of life. So similarly, Krishna also likes variety. In the spiritual world, there is infinite variety like there is in the material world. But that variety in the spiritual world is pure. So Krishna also manifests himself because he also wants to appear in so many different forms. Sometimes we see now here, there are so many hairstyles. Different people put different hairstyles, right? One day they will wear their hair in one hairstyle, second day another hairstyle. You know, the cloth they will wear in one way on one day, another way, another, you know, on another day. So Krishna also wants to have this variety. One day, he'll appear as Lord Ramachandra, sometimes as Narasimha. But the difference is that each of these forms which he, or so-called dresses that he wears, it is eternal. In the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami mentions that all the forms of the Lord eternally exist in the spiritual world. So, Krishna, for his own pleasure, he manifests these different forms, and then in each of these different forms, he enjoys different pastimes. Because certain types of pastimes need a certain type of form. For example, if there's somebody who is going to swim on the beach, he will not go with a suit and tie. He will wear his swimming costume and go. Somebody is going to, let's say, play a game of tennis, he will wear another set of costume and go. When he's going to the office, he will wear in another dress. When he comes to the temple, he will come in dhoti kurta or in another dress. So every activity requires a certain kind of dress. So because Krishna wants to perform many, many activities, so he performs, or he adopts a mood and a form that is appropriate exactly just to that occasion and that purpose. So therefore, when it's time to kill Hiranyakashipu and to save Prahlad, then he comes in a terrifying form that will strike fear in the heart of even the most fearless persons materially. So then the form of Lord Narasimha is just appropriate to that occasion and that purpose. So in this way, the second reason that the Lord manifests many forms is because he likes variety, he likes to have many forms for his own pleasure, and these different activities require different types of forms, so he manifests them, and these forms exist eternally. So this is a brief summary of why the Supreme Lord has many, many forms, infinite number of forms. Everything about the Lord is anant, endless. So therefore his forms are also endless. So if tomorrow somebody asks you, why is your Lord have so many forms? So now you have the answer. And in short, you can just give them these two answers. Okay, so I'll stop here. It is exactly 1 hour now since I started. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Well, see, now in our particular situation of devotional service, we do not know what is our eternal position in the spiritual world. So we are not aware, because that is revealed only at a very, very advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. So we have to wait for that time to realize what we are. So now, our rasa is Gurudas. Just follow the orders of the spiritual master. Render devotional service, and that will be revealed at the right time. So we may develop a particular inclination to worship a particular form of the Lord. That is fine. It's all right. At the same time, that may not necessarily be our position in the spiritual world. We don't know. So only when that becomes very solid, and at our stage when we become on the platform of prema or very close to that, then we can actually understand. So for now, in our stage of spiritual development, we should just follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions, try to cultivate the mood of Vrindavan as Prabhupada has explained, at the same time also hear all the other pastimes of the Lord in his various incarnations as given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then let Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deal with what will be our particular situation in the spiritual world. Are there any other questions? Yes, please ask. Yes.
differentiate between a Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma or me, and that's why I worship a devotee like you, Lord Shiva had said that. So are they part of classification one?
Okay. So your question is that we spoke of category 1, which is the forms of the Supreme Lord, and category 2, the forms of those who are not the Supreme Lord. So the question is, where do Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma come in? Because in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many verses that speak about Lord Shiva and Brahma in a very exalted capacity, and their identity with Lord Krishna is also spoken of. So, are they in category 1 or 2? The answer is, they are in category 2. But even in category 2, there are levels and levels. And at the highest level is Lord Shiva. Actually, you could put Lord Shiva in a separate category between category 1 and category 2. Because he is very close to category 1. Nobody can get closer to category 1 than Lord Shiva, but he is not quite there. So he is not in category 1 because he is not a jiva, and he is not in category 2 because he is not Bhagavan, he is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is not in category 2 because he is not a jiva. So he is in a category by himself called Shiva Tattva. Category 1 is Vishnu Tattva. Category 2 is Jiva Tattva. So Lord Shiva is Shiva Tattva, who is actually in between category 1 and category 2. Very close to category 1. As far as Lord Brahma is concerned, he is in category 1 as a Jiva. More often than not, Lord Brahma is always a jiva. In very, very rare circumstances, the Lord himself may take on the position of Brahma when there is no suitable jiva available. But otherwise, Brahma is a jiva. He is the most evolved jiva, but still he is in category 1. Oh, sorry, category 2. Yes, category 2 means the jiva. Category 2, the jiva. Yes. Okay? Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any other question? Yes, I think Advaita Acharya Prabhu has raised his hand. You may please ask. Yes.
As a practical point of view, you already answered the questions about how to really daily basis deal with the in temple worshipping, because a lot of devotees, those who are Brahmins and they're doing deity worships, sometimes there is competition, sometimes there is a lot of negativity about worshipping between Lord Adamada or Lord Jagannath, and that's sometimes not very healthy for the devotees too, because we are not on that pure platform level at this point. And so somebody has more affinity for particular deities, but we should not really differentiate in a sense that you could cut down or downgrade other deities. Can you explain about those situations that a lot of devotees dealing on a daily basis in temple worship?
Okay, so your question is that for devotees who worship the deities on a daily basis, should they distinguish between the deities in the manner of how they deal with the deities? No, they should not. Definitely not. They should be very careful to avoid any form of aparad to the deities. The deities must be served with love, with devotion, with care, and above all, with due respect. Srila Prabhupada explained that the deities in a temple, even if they are Radha Krishna, are usually worshipped in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. Because there is a certain degree of rules and regulations which have to be followed. On the spontaneous platform of Vrindavan, there is not much inhibition or restriction due to rules and regulations. But when we worship deities in the temple, then we have to be very particular that we offer the bhoga at the right time, we do the arati at the right time, all the standards are very properly maintained. So therefore the devotees certainly should not deal with one set of deities in one way, another set of deities in another way, unless the rules and regulations are like that. For example, for Jagannath, there may be an occasion when a particular festival will be performed. You see? So that is different. But as far as the regular worship is concerned, we must do it all equally with equal devotion and care. We can't hear you. We can't hear you. I could not hear you at all. Yes. Should the devotees discriminate between the deities? In what way? Not unless the rules and regulations of deity worship indicate that. For example, Tulsi garland will be only for Krishna and Vishnu Tattva. You will not give to even Radharani. You will not put the garland around Tulsi garland around Radharani's neck. But you may give garland in her lotus hands so that she may offer to Krishna. So unless the differentiation or distinction is made according to the philosophy, otherwise there should be no distinction. Okay. Fine. So I think we will stop here. And I am very happy once again that I could be with all of you today. Hare Krishna. 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 Yes, I don't know when I can come. Yes, it is my pleasure and I am always happy being with all of you. I have very fond memories of my visits to your temple. I have come there on, I think, twice or thrice before. So I'm very happy on my previous visits, and if Krishna wills, I may be able to come at some point in the future, but I'm not sure about that now. Yes, yes. And my best wishes to all of you too, and I hope that you also all take care and stay safe and have a wonderful Krishna consciousness there, and develop your community very nicely and make it flourish more and more. Hare Krishna. Yes, thank you, Guptaji. Very happy to. Oh, yes, I can see you now. I hope you are well. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Okay. So, best wishes to everybody. Yeah. Okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Shri Shri Radha Madhava Mandir Baltimore Yatra ki jai.